Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Great. Well, for 2,000 years, as Stu was just saying, and reminding us, Christians, billions today, are like us, singing, praying, feasting, exclaiming with joy, He is risen. Why? Well, we've already thought about that a fair bit this morning, but I want to just return to that question. What does the resurrection mean? Now, in many ways, that was the question that Peter and the disciples were grappling with by the shore of Lake Galilee. And I'd just like to spend a couple of moments tracing their journey. Now, hopefully, most of you, because slightly more of you turned up than we'd expected. Vicar doesn't have enough faith, so I didn't print enough. There we go. There's a lesson. Hopefully, most of you have got a card, something like this. It doesn't matter if you don't, but if you do, now is the time to grab one. And there may be some people on your row who you think will enjoy a little bit of scribbling and doodling and colouring in and things like that. So somewhere on your row, there are some felt tips or some pencils. And if there aren't, my wonderful assistants, Dima here is zooming around. Natasha also will come and bring you a felt tip or so. If you think your row might be helped by having one, just give us a wave and it will make its way to you. Good. So just grab that for a moment. We're going to go through the five phrases on this little postcard. And as we go on each one, you might want to mark it as we go, circle it, underline it. And then on the other side, we've got some of the Bible passage and some space for you to write. That's for you. You're going to take it home with you. That's the place for you to capture for yourself what the Lord has taught you about the resurrection today. You might want to underline some of the words that jump out of the page for you. You might want to doodle, whatever. It's up to you. The thing is, we believe these ancient words that we've heard written are still the living word of God today. And we believe God is still in the business of bringing us to an encounter with the living Lord Jesus. And so we want to listen out for his voice. So let me pray as we continue. Heavenly Father, we believe that you are powerful. Lord Jesus, we believe that you are risen. Holy Spirit, we believe you speak to us today. We pray that you would open our eyes to the good news and the meaning of the resurrection. Amen. What does it mean? Well, let's start with the first step of the journey. Verse 3, Peter says, I'm going out to fish. I'm going out to fish. I want to just imagine for a moment the chaos of the previous few days. There's been the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Palm branches, everyone cheering. Then the Last Supper. Lovely supper with friends, but then those strange words of Jesus about how he was going to leave them. And then Judas's betrayal. Jesus's arrest. The disciples scattered. A totally unfair trial. Despair and confusion for every one of the followers. They had such hopes, and then hope was completely gone. But by this stage, of course, by the time we get to Lake Galilee, hope, amazing hope, has started to reappear again. Jesus has been seen by the women at the tomb. He's met the disciples in the upper room. They were overjoyed. Thomas has done doubting and believed. And Peter has gone fishing. Peter, what is with the fishing? Why has he gone back to the very activity that Jesus called him out of in the first place? It reminds us, frankly, of the time when there was no Jesus in his life at all. And perhaps there are some people in this room today for whom that is kind of true for you. You're in that place. Jesus is unknown to you. Or at best, he's a distant rumor. He's someone you've heard of a bit, but perhaps you've obligingly joined a relative this morning. Well done. Thank you. But frankly, normally, Jesus is just someone you hardly have a chance to think about. And let me say you're welcome here today. Easter Sunday is a great day to come. If you'd like to continue this journey of knowing more about this, the best thing you could do is come and join us on our Alpha course. It meets on Thursday week. Natasha will say more about that at the end. But for now, it's really good to remember, isn't it? That at the first resurrection, the greatest heroes, the disciples in the Bible, they started out knowing nothing about Jesus. And they got there. But really, it's probably true to say that actually I'm going out to fish represents something else. I'm going out to fish speaks of someone who knows what has happened at Easter, but doesn't really know what to do about it. That too might be you this morning. Perhaps you know the Easter story from Mum and Dad. Perhaps you know it from the songs you used to sing in school. You may even know it because you hear about it in church. But if you're honest, you're not quite sure what difference it makes. Perhaps sometimes you ask yourself this question, you know, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, would my life be any different? And perhaps sometimes you think, actually, I'm not really sure. Meanwhile, you're busy carrying on with your day job, like Peter was. Or perhaps it's making friends at school, or it's growing the family, or it's planning your retirement, whatever it is for you. I'm going out fishing. But after I'm going out fishing, something happened. Something interesting happened. That's our next phrase. Follow it round. They caught nothing. They caught nothing. There are actually two miracles in the story. I don't know whether you noticed it. The first miracle is that Jesus stopped any of the fish going into any of the nets all night until the early morning. And here was the lesson for Peter. They caught nothing. It is the realization that life without Christ is empty. Life without Christ is empty. Now, of course, worldly success is very possible without Christ. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that the statistics for atheist fishermen are kind of the same as they would be for Christian fishermen. They probably catch the same amount in the end. But ultimately, life is empty without Christ because we are made to be with the Lord. And I think Jesus deliberately frustrated Peter's trip. I think he deliberately brought Peter to the end of his resources, because sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes the Lord to bring us to the end of ourselves before we can encounter him. And I want to ask you today, perhaps particularly if you're at a time of your life where just nothing is working, nothing seems to be going right, could it be that the risen Lord is at work in your life, longing for you to realize that life without him is empty, asking you to lift your eyes and turn to him? They caught nothing. But that brings us to the turning point of the story. And there it is, right in the middle of your card. It is the Lord. See if you can say that. It is, oh, yeah, a bit more conviction. That's quite a lot.
It is the Lord.
Right, okay, this is the big moment, yeah? The realization, and it's just wonderful, isn't it? Jesus says, you throw your net on the right side of the boat, you will find some. Imagine what that feels like as an expert fisherman. Yeah, thanks for the advice. Over it goes, 153 fish. John says it's the Lord. Peter doesn't actually speak, or we don't know what he says, but he gives the body language. It says, as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. This feels like the moment it really sinks in. Okay, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, okay, okay. But you can imagine it, can't you? The other guys, they're sorting out the catch of fish, you know, the net is absolutely swollen. Peter, could you just hold on? Where's he gone? He's jumped over the side of the boat. He's still in his clothes. He's going to be soaking all day. He doesn't care because it is the Lord. It is the Lord. That is Easter in a nutshell, isn't it? It is the Lord. That is the testimony of the women at the tomb. It is the Lord. It is the testimony of the disciples in the upper room. Jesus comes in. It is the Lord. Is Thomas doubting Thomas's testimony? It is the Lord. And actually, it's not just a fact, it is a personal realization. It is the Lord. Jesus is here. Jesus is alive to me. His presence with me is more important than anything else. I'm going to chuck myself over the side of the boat and swim to him if I have to. And you know, the amazing thing is that that realization has been happening for 2,000 years. That's why this church is bursting this morning. Do you know, it's the strangest year for the church in the UK. If you've been following the news, the church has basically never had worse press. We've got scandals, we've got resignations, we've got divisions, it's all a mess. And in the midst of this, they did a survey at the end of 2024. And it turns out that now, compared to 2018, so over the last 6 years, there are four times as many under 35s going to church regularly than there were in 2018. That's extraordinary. Why? Why? Haven't we disproved it all? No, because the magnetic personality of Jesus continues to draw people to him. People keep seeing him and saying, "It is the Lord." And actually, that's my prayer for you today. Whether you've never said those words before or never felt them, or whether you've said them 100 times, that you would know and experience it is the Lord. And that his presence would be so important for you in your life that you would happily forget everything else just to be with him. It is the Lord. But the story doesn't quite finish there. And that's what I love about this Easter appearance. You get the whole journey. Two more moments, briefly. Come and have breakfast. Number four, come and have breakfast. Jesus says to them, bring some of the fish you've caught. Humorous. He supplied them, of course. And actually, it turns out Jesus already has some fish there. So Simon Peter climbs back into the boat, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. I remember a really close friend coming to faith. She was so keen. She was just loving everything she could hear about Jesus. But suddenly she had this dawning realization. And she asked me, really sort of troubled in her soul, but what about all the things I've done? What about all the things I've done wrong? The shame. Well, this moment round the fire is just the most powerful demonstration of what happened at the cross. At this moment, Jesus shows that he has taken Peter's guilt and shame, and now he offers him a meal, a timeless picture of hospitality and kindness to the very one who denied him. And it's the same for you and me. We've blown it. Let's be honest. And yet, though our past condemns us, Jesus does not. And if we had been there, if we had been on Lake Galilee, he would have said to you and to me as well, come and have breakfast. Come and join me around the fire. And that just leaves one last point. One last point. The final part of the story. Follow me. Follow me. If you've managed to keep following us all this way, that's really where I'd love you to go home thinking. So if you've already put some circles around some of your little sayings here, this is the one to really, really many times round. Follow me. We can't go into the detail of what exactly Peter did. He had a particular job to look after the church, and the whole business of the miracle of the fish was also his job to catch people. But what we can say is that Peter's call ultimately is exactly the same as ours. Follow me. The meaning of the resurrection is that Jesus is alive, and today he asks you to follow him. Being a Christian is a label, but the life of a Christian is not carrying a label. It is following a person. And so for this next year, my challenge to you is this. Will you follow Jesus? What is he calling you to do? It may be quite hard. It was incredibly hard for Peter, what he called him to do. But the wonderful thing, it was a lifetime of living in the purposes of God. And nothing could be better, whether you're a fish, a cockerel, or Peter himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are with us this morning. We pray, Lord, that each one of us individually, every person here this morning, would know and experience in their own lives, it is the Lord. Make yourself known to us in our hearts, in our lives, in our decisions, in our ambitions. And we pray that as we look to the future, we would have the courage to follow you wherever you go. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.